I was driving home yesterday. I was at the church yesterday twice, once in the morning, and then it came back for Noelle's graduation celebration yesterday. And in the morning, when I was going home about noontime, I turned onto my street, I saw a little bird on the road. He must have been hit by a car because it was struggling to fly and couldn't get off the ground. And I thought about this verse that was in my message for tonight, verse 29, where we read, "And one of them," talking about sparrows, "shall not fall on the ground without your Father." In other words, one of them won't fall to the ground without God knowing about it. Every sparrow that falls to the ground, God knows about. We read in verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" And it was a rhetorical question. Jesus was trying to get the people's attention because two sparrows were sold for a farthing. Now, I want Aaron to come and help me. Aaron and I, you play little games with your grandchildren. Just stay right down there, bud. Arnie and I play a little game. No, right here. Arnie and I play a little game where we hum different songs to each other, and we try to guess the songs, okay? So Aaron has got to this deal where now he loves story problems. So we challenge each other with story problems. He asked me one the other day. He says, "There were two mothers and two daughters, and they each," and I can't remember exactly how it goes, "but they each bought a piece of pie for a dollar, and they only spent $3. How is that possible? Two mothers, two daughters, they each bought a piece of pie for a dollar, and it only cost $3. So tell people how that is possible.
There's three generations, the grandma, the mom, and the daughter.
So two mothers, two daughters. Okay, now here's a story problem for you. If two sparrows are sold for one farthing, okay? Now farthing's just like a piece of money. It's like a nickel or a penny, something like that. So if you had, two sparrows, one farthing. If you had two farthings, how many sparrows could you buy?
Four.
Hold the mic up. How many?
Four.
Four, that's right. If one farthing, you could buy two sparrows. If you had two farthings, you could buy four. Okay, very good. Thank you. You can go back and sit down. Now, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter 12 and read verses 6 and 7. Now, listen to this, Aaron. Your math was right, but listen to what the Bible says. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And so this little sparrow was so cheap that you could buy two for one farthing. And if you came with two farthings, instead of getting four, which the math says you should get, you actually got five. They threw the fifth one in for nothing because these little birds were so cheap. And yet God says about that little sparrow that was basically sold for nothing, the fifth sparrow that should have cost a half a farthing but didn't cost anything when somebody came with two farthings and got five. God says about that fifth sparrow, one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father being aware of it, and not one of them is forgotten before God. And in both of those verses, both of those passages that we read, both from the book of Matthew and both from the book of Luke, the Bible says, "Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value to God than many sparrows." So God made this little insignificant bird, and not much value to men. I mean, you can get five of them for two farthings. And yet, every one of those little sparrows is loved by God. Every one of those little sparrows is watched over by God. Not one of them fall to the ground without God knowing about it. And Jesus uses that to remind us, what are you fearful about? What are you worried about? What are you troubled about? You're worth more to God than many sparrows. Just trust Him. Just lean on Him. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want to take some events in the life of Christ, and I want to remind you that God knows what we need. God already has in store, stored up, ready for us to draw on when we come across a need to provide for that need. So let me tell you, and again, this all goes under the heading, fear not. Fear not, because we are of more value to God than many sparrows. And again, the God of the fifth sparrow, the God that sparrow that costs nothing, they don't fall to the ground without God knowing about it. So here we go. I have several points tonight. Number one, God knows that we have bills to pay. God knows that. Just stop and think about it. God knows the bills that we have to pay. One time, Jesus and his disciples were in Capernaum. A tax collector, those that collected the taxes, came to Peter. And he said, Peter, do you and your master pay taxes? Now, Peter sort of was caught off guard. And he said, well, yes, we pay our bills. I mean, when we owe something, we certainly pay our bills. And so he went into the house where Jesus was, and before Peter could say anything to Jesus, Jesus asked Peter a question. He said, Peter, who does the world collect taxes from? From strangers or children? And Peter said, well, from strangers. And then Jesus said, then are the children free. But then he said, lest we offend anybody, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your hook, and I want you to go cast it into the sea. And the first fish that you catch, there'll be a coin in that fish's mouth. It'll be enough to pay your taxes and my taxes. So you go out and cast that line in your hook. Now notice, I read it again this afternoon. Jesus doesn't say anything about putting bait on the hook. He just says, you cast the hook in. And he had a fish that again, we don't know how he got the coin in the fish's mouth. Probably fell overboard in a boat, and God had that fish swallow it up. And that fish was just waiting there by the shore for Peter to cast that hook on. The fish didn't even need any bait to be attracted to Peter's hook. And Peter threw that hook in and hooked that fish, pulled it in. And just like Jesus said, there was a coin in that fish's mouth. And it was a coin big enough to pay Peter's taxes and Jesus' taxes. Listen, the God of the fifth sparrow knows about your mortgage. The God of the fifth sparrow knows about your car payment. The God of the fifth sparrow knows about your electric bill. He knows about your tax bill. And the God of the fifth sparrow has money somewhere for you to pay those bills. He owns the wealth in every mine. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God has the resources for us to draw on to pay our bills. You say, well, preacher, I never got any money. I've been fishing a lot of times, and I know some of you like to fish. I've never got any money from a fish's mouth. Well, I want to tell you something. Neither have I. I haven't gone fishing much because I don't like the feel of worms and I don't like the feel of fish. And if I went fishing, somebody always has to bait my hook, and somebody always has to take the fish off. Amen, Chung, isn't that right? That's the way it's supposed to work. But I've never pulled a piece of money out of a fish's mouth. But I want to tell you something. There's been times in my life where money came from God in just as much a miraculous way as it did to Peter that day when he threw his hook into the sea and drew that fish out with a coin in its mouth to pay its taxes. Look, when I was growing up, my mom and dad, I mean, my dad worked two jobs, my mom worked, and we didn't have much. I mean, I was glad I was the oldest. I got to wear the clothes first, and then they were sort of passed down. All the time I was growing up, I only remember one vacation that we went on other than going to see family. Now, we would go to Arkansas and we would go, you know, stay with family. But I can, in the 18 years I was at home, I only remember one vacation that we took that wasn't to family. My dad and mom saved and saved and saved, and we took 3 weeks, piled mom and dad and us three boys in a Pontiac Catalina, 1967, and we drove to California and back. Only vacation I remember. And I'll be honest with you, when I graduated from college and I went to work, I made more money the first year that I worked than my dad made any year in his life. And I could not believe how God blessed. I still look at how God blessed. I still look at how God provided. I'm still amazed at all the different things that I've got to do and share with my family and share with others, because God has blessed. And again, if you're honest, I mean, you might look at your life and say the same thing. God has blessed in a miraculous way. I mean, when you graduated from high school or college, did you ever think you'd make as much money as you'd make? Did you ever think you'd be able to have the things that you have? Did you ever think that you could provide for your family in the way that you provided? It's all because of the God of the fifth sparrow. He knows us. He knows what we need, and he knows the bills that we have, and some way, somehow, in a miraculous way, he will provide what we need to pay our bills, to meet our needs. The God of the fifth sparrow, who knows when every one of those little sparrow falls to the ground, cares about us and knows that we have bills to pay and will provide what we need. Number two, and just so you can keep track, I have 4 points tonight. So point number two, the God of the fifth sparrow knows that you need a place to live. He knows that. In Mark chapter 14, the disciples were getting ready to have the Passover feast with Jesus. It would be their last Passover feast. And so they went to Jesus and they said, "Master, where are we going to have this feast? We need a place. We need a room so that we can celebrate the Passover feast." And Jesus said, "Have it all arranged. When you go into town, you'll see a man carrying a water pot." Now, that was unusual for that day and age. Usually it was the women that carried the water pot, that took the pot to the well, filled it up, and brought it back home. If Jesus would have said, "Well, you go into town and you look for a woman carrying a water pot," it would have been hard for the disciples to know which one to follow home. But when Jesus said, "Hey, I have a place already prepared, I've already arranged it, and you go into town, you'll find a man carrying a water pot, you follow him home, and you tell the master of the house that your master needs a place to have his supper, he'll show you an upper room, and you go into the upper room, and you make preparations for our Passover supper." You might not think that God is interested in where you live. You might think God has a world to run. God has, he has to keep everything that he's created together. The world, the God's creation is sustained by him. It would fall apart if he didn't keep his eye on it. It would fall apart if he didn't keep his attention on it. That's what the book of Colossians says. And people might think, God's not concerned where I live. God's not, doesn't pay any attention to where I live. I want to tell you something. God knows where the nest of every sparrow is. In every tree. I was cleaning out some of my trees. The wind that we had several weeks ago blew part of my fence down, and I have to get a new fence, and I have to cut some of the branches off some of the trees. I discovered I had 5 bird nests in my backyard cutting those trees. One of them's on a gutter. I know that when I watched the little baby birds hatch out of that nest. The other 4, I had no idea that they were there. But you know what? God knew where every one of the sparrows, every one of those little birds, he knows where their nest is. And God has a will, has a place that he wants you to live. I'm grateful that for all of you tonight that his will is that you live in Michigan, around Clio, Michigan, so that you can be part of our church. Joe and Lynn are getting ready to move. They're going to move into to Lynn's house and sell the condo over in Adam and Chantel's neighborhood. But I'm glad that that's God's will for them. I'm glad God's will is that he wants you to live in Michigan. I'm glad he wants you to live close to this church so that you can be a part of it. Look, Jesus said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." Don't you think that if Jesus loves us enough to get heaven ready for us, to prepare us a place to live in heaven, don't you think that that love is big enough to give us a place down here to live? Don't you think if that love is big enough to get eternity ready for us, that he has a will and a place for us to live down here? I do. I mean, not one sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing about it. Not one fifth sparrow, which is free, which doesn't cost anything. God knows when he falls to the ground. Why should we be afraid? Why should we worry? God knows what we need. He knows we have bills to pay. He knows we need a place to live. And he cares enough about us to give us that place to live. Number three, the God of the fifth sparrow knows that we need to eat. Amen. Praise God. The disciples had been on the Sea of Galilee all night. They had fished all night. Now again, at least four of them, that was their profession before Jesus called them to follow him. They were fishermen. They were professional fishermen. They did it for a living. They were on the Sea of Galilee. They fished all night and caught nothing. There was a man that stood on the shore. They didn't recognize who he was. He cried out to them, "Children, have you any meat?" What he was asking them was, "Have you caught any fish?" And I don't know who it was that answered. I don't know if it was Peter or one of the other disciples. They called back, "No, we haven't. We fished all night and we've caught nothing." Here's what the man on the beach said. He said, "Cast your net on the other side. Cast your net on the other side." Now again, four of these guys were professional fishermen. They knew it didn't matter what side of the boat you had your net on. If you were going to catch fish, you were going to catch them on the right side or the left side. I mean, the boats back then weren't that wide, so it really didn't make any difference. And again, I don't know who it was that said, "Well, let's try it. Can't hurt." So they cast their net on the other side, and their net filled up with fish to the point that it started breaking. In fact, if you read the end of the story, I think it says they caught 253 fish. John, who was one of the disciples in the boat, turned to Peter and said, "Peter, that's the Lord. That man on the shore is the Lord." Now, Jesus had been crucified. He had laid in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. He had resurrected. They'd already met him in the upper room. And here they were, again, discouraged because they didn't know what was going to happen. They were hungry. They were tired. And John said, "Peter, it's the Lord." Well, Peter didn't wait. He jumped in, put his clothes on, the Bible says, and jumped in and went to the shore to meet Jesus while the rest of the guys that were on the boat pulled the boat in. And do you remember what the disciples found when they got to shore? They saw that Jesus had a fire going. And on that fire were fish. And I don't know if the bread was on the fire, if he was frying the bread or what, but there were fish and bread ready for them to eat breakfast. Now, stop and think about that just for a second. He had just come out of the tomb. He had just showed the power of God by his resurrection. He was getting ready to ascend, to sit at the Father's right hand, and once again be the Prince of Heaven. And yet he took the time early that morning to start a fire, find some fish. I wonder if he had to clean those fish, Brother John. Somebody had to clean them. And I wouldn't put it past the Lord Jesus Christ to clean them. Cook those fish, gather up some bread, so that he could feed his disciples breakfast. The glorious resurrected Son of God cooking breakfast for his disciples that were out fishing because they didn't know what the future held. They were out fishing because they thought they might have to go back to their old way of life. They were out fishing because they had doubt what was going to happen in their ministry from that point on. And the glorious resurrected Son of God spent time making a fire, cleaning fish, cooking those fish, getting bread together so that he could serve those men breakfast that morning. Now listen, don't you think that a God that would do that, don't you think that a God who had just come out of the tomb and was in the glorious state of being resurrected from the dead, don't you think that if he did that for his disciples, that he knows that we need to eat and that he will feed us? Don't you think that that's the kind of God we have? Why should we fear? Why should we worry? He takes care of the fifth sparrow. He'll take care of us. Now, that food may come from different places. It may come from the garden. It may come from Kessels. Do they have any Kessels anymore? I'm dating myself. It may come from VG's. It may come from KFC. You see, they don't call it Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore because fried is bad, so they call it KFC, thinking that we won't know that the chicken is fried anymore. But God, look, here's my point. God knows what we need before we know we need it. And just like he had that coin in the fish's mouth, just like he had that room prepared before the disciples knew that they needed it, just like he had breakfast ready for the disciples before they knew who he even was, he has in store for us what is needed to meet every need that we have in our life. He knows we have bills to pay. He knows we need a place to stay. He knows that we need to eat. And he has everything in place. And then number four, he knows the dangers that we face. In Mark chapter 4, the disciples are on a ship in the middle of a storm. Jesus is in the back of the ship asleep. The waves begin to beat into the boat and crash into the boat and begin to fill the boat. And the disciples are panic-stricken. They're afraid. They're afraid the boat's going to go down. They're afraid they're all going to die. And so they came back to the back of the ship and they woke Jesus up and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And you know the story. Jesus got up. He arose. He rebuked the wind. He stilled the sea. And the Bible says immediately there was a great calm. And he says, "Where's your faith? You asked me the question, don't I care if you perish? Do you really need to ask me that? Don't you know that I love you? Don't you know that I'm keeping my eye on you? Don't you know that I don't want you to perish? Where's your faith? Why don't you just trust me? Why don't you just lean on me? Why don't you just know that I love you and I'm going to take care of you?" The God of the fifth sparrow knows about the storms that we go through in life. He knows about cancer. He knows about when the doctor says there's nothing else that we can do. He knows about the tests and the operations and your little baby graduating from high school and getting ready to go to college and leave the nest, so to speak. God knows all about those things. And he says to us that might call out, "Master, don't you know what we're going through? Don't you care about what we're going through?" And Jesus says, "Where's your faith? Of course I care what you're going through. Of course I know what you're going through. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll always give you what you need to make it through." Like Brother Darrell said this morning, Brother John said this morning before he sang, God never promises us to keep us out of the valleys. He never promises to keep us out of the hardships, but he always promises never to leave us or forsake us. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Sometimes we forget that God does care for us. Sometimes we forget that he knows what's going on in our life. Sometimes we forget that he knows what we need. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. Hey, I know that you have need of all these things. You don't need to worry. I'm going to meet your every need. And sometimes we just need to be reminded that the God of the fifth sparrow is the God that takes care of us. And I'm so glad he does. I'm so glad we have a God that takes care of us. It's a sad thing for a Christian to go through life and forget that truth. But it's sadder still for people to go out into eternity without knowing the Heavenly Father. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that Heavenly Father loves you. He loves you so much that even when you were a sinner, he sent his Son to die in your place. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you've never received him, I invite you to receive him tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this reminder from your word about how you do care for us, about how you do watch over us, about how you do provide for every need. Help us to remember that we are more valuable in your sight than many sparrows. Not one of them falls to the ground without you knowing about it. And there's nothing happens in our life without you knowing about it and already have the resources in place to take care of it. And so I pray we'd quit our fear, we'd quit our worry, we'd lean on you, we'd trust you to take care of us. And Father, I pray if there is one here tonight that's never asked Christ to be their Savior, I pray tonight would be that time when they'd see their sin, the penalty for that sin, the price that Jesus paid, and come and trust him. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.